Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to the Adia Talks podcast. My name is Mo Adia. I am your host on this podcast, where we are all about helping you be the best version of yourself and live your life as God intended. We have yet another great episode today, so I want you to stay tuned, grab a notebook, a pen, a drink, and let us chat about what is on the agenda today. Well, hello, people. Welcome to, I don't even know what to say first. Okay, actually, I know what to say first. Happy New Year, first of all. Welcome to 2021. Secondly, welcome to my podcast for all the listeners of the Adia Talks podcast. Welcome to this episode, the first episode of 2021. And welcome to those who are watching on my YouTube channel. This is like, I don't like saying killing birds, but this is essentially trying to kill two birds with one stone. And I've always desired to do a live podcast. Like, I've always had this niggling desire to do a live podcast, albeit this is in a live stream, but we would hopefully be doing some live stream episodes some point this year, 2021. But happy new year. Welcome to my very first video of 2021. Welcome to the first podcast of 2021. We're trying to be efficient this year and trying to just, you know, make sure life is as easy as possible. So, you know, I wanted to do it this setup this way. So I'm really grateful. Thank you to the people that are joined or watching from YouTube. Thank you to those that are listening to the podcast. If you guys don't know each other, I'm introducing y'all, you know, hello, podcasters, YouTubers, meet each other, you know, just know that you both exist. So if you are watching on YouTube and you don't know that we have a podcast, or I have a podcast where I'm the host, I do. It is called the Adia Talks podcast, and you can find that on all major podcast digital, you know, platforms for podcasts. Likewise, podcasters, if you don't know that I have a YouTube channel, we actually have two. So we have Mo Adia TV, where you're going to see this as well. And we also have our Adia Talks YouTube channel, where you're going to see this as well. So you guys are spoilt for choice. Like, I'm so nice like that. Like, I come bearing so many gifts. You can see from my jumper, if you're watching, that it's a very like festive type jumper, in a sense, in a gifty way, because I come bearing gifts to you today. Because today we are here to talk about a few things that I believe, and I am so sure, certain in my mind, as certain as I know my name is Mo, that you need for 2021. These are things that you actually need to figure out how you implement, introduce into your life in whatever way. If you listen to our last episode of the podcast, we did speak about me coming on here to talk about that. I didn't think it would be this late in the month, but I just had to take a little bit of time off. And quite frankly, the last episode of the podcast, which if you're watching on YouTube, you need to go and listen to, really talked about quite a few things which I have seen manifest, and I've seen God resonate and even speak through other people. You know, as we've come into the new year, it was talking about forward focus and how important has forward focus or focus been, you know, already in the start of the year, and, you know, so many distractions, so many things going on. So what we're here to talk about is 12 things you absolutely need for your 2021. I believe you need all of them, because I need all of them, but you might just want to take, you know, a couple and start to implement them, you know. So I'm going to keep this nice and short and sweet. If you listen to the podcast, I say that all the time, but I'm going to do my best to keep this, you know, nice, short and sweet, and then we can, you know, delve into things a lot more as we go, as the weeks go by. But I hope you're well, I hope you're good. For, you know, podcasters, YouTubers, hope you guys are all well. I keep on trying not to say guys, but hope you are all well. Hope you are settling into 2021. I hope that you have sought the Lord concerning to your 2021 and what he is saying to you. You know, I would start off with saying, for us in the Adia Talks, I remember in our prayer room, we had, you know, we had a prayer and fast for the last 3 days of the year. And the words the Lord dropped was so, they became so potent to me afterwards. You know, he talked about, you know, us occupying. That was a word the Lord really said to us, that occupy, occupy. This is a year to occupy, you know, enlarge your territory, you know, strengthen your stakes. You know, we say, you know, take more territory of those things that you perhaps were too, I don't want to say shy, or you just felt apprehensive about taking forth. And then closely linked to that, he said, pursue, overtake, recover all. Pursue, overtake, recover all. He also told us to stop playing small. That came, you know, some point in the year. He also told us he is doing a new thing. So the Lord has just given us words to help encourage us. And I'm mentioning all of these on here because I want you to be encouraged by them. It's not just for, you know, me or for the people in the group. It's for anyone that encounters Idea Talks, anyone that encounters me. I want you to be better off than the way, you know, you were before you encountered me, because you have encountered Jesus. That's the goal of my life in many ways. Anyway, my name is Modi. I don't think I did that or I said that. I'm trying to juggle how I do things on YouTube or podcasts. My head is going boom, 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 boom. But anyway, we're here to talk about 12 things you absolutely need for 2021. So I want you to grab, you know, your pen and all of that. I know you can always go back and listen back and watch back, etc. But there is something about writing things down. It just sticks better. You just can, you know, you can take action better when you even write things down. So I encourage you to do that. So we're going to get straight into it because I'm not going to be long today. So today, 12 things you need for 2021. If we look back at 2020, whew, I don't even know where to begin. It's a little bit exhausting trying to do that, you know, but I did spend some time reflecting. I talked about it on the last episode. But, you know, really what 2020 did for us, and again, we talked about this last time, is it showed us that we can make it through any circumstance, right? So there's so many things that people were faced with in different, you know, different scenarios. Like not everyone faced the same level of, call it trauma, but like people face things different to what they probably faced, I would broadly say as a statement, you know, in their lives, right? But what that gave us was a whole bunch of resilience, right? It showed us that like we are overcomers, you know? It showed, like, especially us in Christ, it showed us that we are overcomers. Even to the world, they began to, they pick up these things, right? So they picked up that, wow, you know, we really are built to endure. We can endure, because when you're going through the motions of things, sometimes you don't realize until you look back and think, wow, I was able to deal with the magnitude of what was going on and the sort of consistency of the back-to-back things going on, but you overcame. You're still in your right mind by God's grace. So a whole bunch of resilience sort of was really I wouldn't say it was birthed because it was within us, but it was really evident within us, and we began to see that. So what we want to do is use that resilience from 2020 to face 2021. Because quite frankly, you know, we're not saying that, oh, nothing's going to happen again. Everything's going to be like smooth and all that. Like there will still be, you know, all sorts of things going on in the world. But really, it's about knowing, actually, I have faced worse before. I have faced this, or maybe even what you're seeing, you're facing is worse. But you know that I can make it through. So it's using that resilience that is gained to propel you forward and not using it to be, you know, something that hinders you. You use the past, you know, you using that past resilience you gained in the past season to help move you forward. So the first thing I want to leave you with is use that resilience, right? Don't shy away from it. Just think, I've done this before. I have overcome before. I am an overcomer. In fact, I want you to declare that over yourself and your mind. I am an overcomer. And that will begin to help your soul adjust with what your spirit knows, which is that you are an overcomer. You overcame 2020, whatever you faced, whether even maybe you didn't face anything, maybe the other time in your life you faced more traumatic things than you did in 2020, but you're listening to this today, you're watching this today, so you are an overcomer, right? So use that resilience. The second thing I want you to do is to see things from the right lens, right? Similarly, we talked about this last time briefly, but really on the podcast, but really when we say we see things from the right lens, we're seeing things from the lens of a very forward, you know, a forward looking lens, right? And even if we're looking and we're seeing things from the past, again, we're using that to help us propel forward. We're not, you know, seeing things from the lens of what others expect of us, or even some of the, you know, false expectations we put on ourselves, or what society expects, or from our failures. You know, people can see the things from the lens of failure, from the lens of, you know, not being good enough, from the lens of limitation. There's so many different things. And the enemy is so good at throwing different angles of things to us, you know, to see things from different lenses. But I want you to see things from a very forward-focused, visionary lens. See it from how God sees it. Like, see it from, also see the bigger picture. So two things. See it from a very forward-focused, visionary perspective, right? But also see it how God sees it from the bigger picture. Elevate. Yeah, that's another word the Lord gave us. I even forgot to mention that, right? Elevate your thinking. Elevate the lens you're seeing things from. Don't see it just from the perspective of you, right? See it from how God is actually envisioning this thing. See it from how God actually sees you and what he would have you do, you know, how he has placed you somewhere. See your circumstance from God's lens, what he calls you, what he says about you. You know, see it from that perspective. When you begin to change your lens and how you see things, you won't see things from the place of failure or your limitation or what you view in front of you as your present need. You would also see things through the eyes of faith, right? That's another thing that as believers we're encouraged to do, right? So the third thing I want you to see, very, very closely linked to that, is begin to see opportunities. Begin to see vast opportunities. You know, something happened to me the other day. I was meant to order an item, which God had clearly told me to buy. And I was like, oh, it was a bit expensive. So I was a bit like, you know, not hesitant. Like I knew I was going to do it. But I was a bit like, let me just check if it's like the, you know, the right, you know, the right thing for what I need. It was actually a musical related item. Let me just double check with somebody who I know is an expert in this field. So I didn't get around to contacting the person the day after. So I went back to my, you know, where I was purchasing the product from, and it had gone up by like, maybe say like 50 pounds, you know, so quite a bit, 50, 60 pounds around that, right? So dollar wise, that's like maybe, I don't know, $80, $90. I don't know, these days things change, but it had gone up quite significantly within less than a 24 hour period. It had gone up that way. Now, the reason why I was beginning to think, hang on, it couldn't be demand. Like, it just doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense. And then the Holy Spirit said to me, Brexit. Right? If you're in the UK, I don't want to bore you too much about what that means, but it's essentially something that's happened where the United Kingdom has come out of an agreement with the rest of Europe. And the knock-on impact of that has meant that certain taxes have been raised, certain sorts of things that we had as benefits to trade within ourselves in Europe, those benefits are no longer in place. So, right? So, you know, for instance, you know, where if you bought something from the United States, for instance, in the UK, you normally would pay a tax. In Europe, you didn't have to, but all of that is gone. That's just one example amongst a whole bunch of other things. So I'm not here to give my views on Brexit because anyway, but you know what, that the Holy Spirit says to me, look, that's a knock-on impact. So it's starting to trigger into things, you know, because we officially came out from the 1st of January. So it's starting to actually trickle down into everyday things, which is what we expected. I just didn't like foresee it in that sense. Now, so when he began to say that to me, he now said, well, the thing about it is a lot of people will see this as, oh my gosh, things are now more expensive. In my case, I'm like, this is now more expensive. This is what's going on, all of these things. But there is an opportunity here, right? So I began to think about something else the Lord had told me to do. And he said, I've told you to do this, and you don't realize that now you are servicing the people here because there's something that is no longer in place, right? So people being easily able to import things or whatever is no longer in place, but it's actually an opportunity. Those that are wise and those that are smart will realize that this is actually an opportunity. So maybe where the nation relied on things to be manufactured and imported, now what about home growing it yourself, right? Now is the opportunity. So these are all the people that are lobbying for it, you know, probably, you know, lobbying for, but in essence, they're opportunities. That's just one example, right? So maybe that's ministering to somebody who's watching, listening about, you know, how your views on certain things were. But, you know, now there is an opportunity. And the Lord is like, see opportunities ahead of you. Don't see things from the lens of, if you look at the statistics and the news and all those things happening, you will see things with a skewed, you would hear and you would see with a skewed vision. You would see from what they're trying to portray to you, right? But you need to see things from the heavenly perspective. You also need to see opportunities where there's a limitation and a challenge. You see the opportunity and you say, oh, wow, this is actually an opportunity. How can I play into this? What is my role? Am I meant to do something, not do something? So for me, you know, that example, I won't necessarily say, hey, I'm therefore going to manufacture this product because I couldn't. But what I began to see is actually, okay, I've learned from this and I'm now going to look in other places that I'm able to influence. I have the ability to do something about what are the opportunities. And maybe my role is to actually just encourage you who are the manufacturer or the service provider, whatever it is, or just give you the charge to do that thing you have been procrastinating for so long because you just have been like, whatever. But now there's an opportunity. There is a gap in the market. The people that used to provide it are still there, but now things are more expensive or more cumbersome to get imported, etc. I didn't mean to drill on about this point too much, but I guess you see my perspective. So see the opportunities ahead of you. Do not see the limitations. See the vast field. You know, another example the Lord gave us, he just brought this to my memory again. This is definitely for somebody, is, you know, a picture of a vast field he had given someone, but they had pitched their tent, a very small tent, on the field, and they refused to expand beyond that. But the Lord is like, come out of that tent and see everything around you. I have given you this vast field. It is green, it is fruitful, but you are pitching your tent too small. You're staying too small. You're not seeing the opportunity. And the opportunity may not be things that are totally comfortable. Sometimes they may not be things that, you know, easily resonate with you because you're not used to it. There might be new things. But again, the Lord says, I am doing a new thing. So see the opportunities, you know, don't see things from a lens of limitation. Another thing that you need to absolutely do in 2021 is obey quickly. I cannot stress this enough. Obey quickly. Why I say this is because the year is very rapid. You know, I in 2019 I had a vision of the year, what I knew was the year ahead, and now I see it as the decade ahead, and I saw things moving at such rapid speed, like, well, really quick. And we saw that last year was as you know, traumatic as it was very quick, because what another sort of byproduct of that is a lot of things happened last year. And that's an element of things being really, 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 really quickly. Now, what the knock-on impact is that the action you take, you need to obey quickly. When the Lord says do something, obey quickly, don't sit on it. I think I shared an example on the last episode of the podcast, so sharing it with you YouTubers again, is that, you know, the things the Lord told me to do last year, I sat on them, I saw other people do them to the actual specifics of what the Lord said I should do. Like when, especially one, he gave me the detail and I was like, nobody else can think of this. Like when I received the revelation and what the instruction, I knew it was from God because it was like, I couldn't even think about this myself. It was so unique. But when I saw somebody else do it, I was like, God, because I sat on this thing and I knew that the Lord told the person to do it after me. Like he'd given me this thing probably a few years ago. And last year was like, take charge, push ahead, go forth and do it, right? But I sat on it, right? And I saw, and a couple of things happened. And I'm sure you might have experienced in your life. I know other people have. And that's because God, you know, when he wants something done, they're things that are ideas. He just doesn't give them to you exclusively. He might give them to you exclusively as maybe the first in maybe your circle. But if you don't pick up what's going on, then other people will, he'll give them to other people. And sometimes the people that pick them up are not even believers. Let me just tell you, there's so many things, all these things that are, you know, all these apps, tools, whatever that there, that I believe God has given believers first. But sometimes we don't pick it up, or we're slow to obey, you know, we just don't, you know, we don't believe in the word, we don't believe God or believe in ourselves. It's all the same thing, right? We don't believe, full stop. So we don't go forth and do. But this year, I want you to obey quickly. The Lord says something, mate, girl, sis, bro, auntie, uncle, whoever you are, please take your journal, whatever the Lord says, write it down. Start to execute something that will help you. So the Lord says, start a podcast, for instance. Like we're starting another new podcast for something else. I'll talk about that another time. But right, I had to be like, okay, God, you've given me this instruction. I know I've been a little bit slow about it. But once I was like, okay, I need to obey quickly, it was like, okay, just go and register the name. Get the name for it. Initiate, start to do this. You know, send the email to somebody. Start to put the structure down. Like just obey quickly. Now don't sit on it, don't stop there, but obey quickly. Be quick to obey the word of the Lord. Next thing I want you to make sure you do this year is understand the season that you are currently in as an individual. The sons of Issachar were wise because they understood, they were able to discern the times and seasons, right? They didn't only discern it, but they therefore knew what Israel ought to do. So when you understand your time and season, you understand what you need to do, you understand what you don't need to do, you understand, you know, what is you know, the right posture. You understand a whole lot of stuff when you understand the times and seasons, because it helps you take action. You're not taking action blindly. You're not making decisions that are not well informed. So your information is your time and season, understanding it prophetically. How do we do that? We go to the Lord in prayer. We are watchful. We are mindful. We are sharpening our prophetic senses. That's probably another whole episode/video about sharpening our prophetic senses. And we're not staying away from the prophetic, right? We're not Christians that are like, we're not staying, we're going to prophetic. Like, I mean, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Like, you can't, I just don't get it. But anyway, that's what we're doing. So we're making sure we are understanding our times and seasons. We're going to take a quick break just for some water. Okay, so we are back from our little break. We took a little break on the podcast, but YouTubers, hello. So we talked about just understanding, discerning your time and season, right? So I encourage you to do that. That's something you do with the Lord. You ask him to show you, open your eyes, pray Ephesians 1:17-19. Just continue to confess that and pray that over yourself. Like, God, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Open my eyes. Show me who I am. Show me what you have called me to be. Show me what you call me. The names that God calls us individually, which, you know, is a revelation of who we are. We saw that in the word, the Lord changed a lot of people's names, right? Because, you know, he changed Simon to Peter because of what he said Peter would be. Right. So we see that happen all the time. So that is the same for you as well. Ask the Lord to show you who you are, give you a revelation of who you are, and show you the season of your life that you are actually in at that point in time, so that you can make the right informed decisions with whatever you need to do. Right. Okay. Closely linked to that, I want you to also figure out who your teachers are in that season that you are in. There are so many distractions. Everybody is teaching a course. Everybody is telling you how to do this. I'm telling you the things you need for 2021, but like, you can't ignore me. But anyway, everyone is telling you how to do something. There's so much noise. Like, you have to be so discerning to actually pick out what is of God, not of God, then what is relevant and not relevant. Now, when I say this, you know, pick out who your teachers are, like, the first thing is obviously whatever is not of God, you know, you just kind of filter that out, right? But even within the realms of what is of God, we're all at different stages in our growth in God. We're all at different stages of discovery of who we are in Christ. We're all finding, you know, we're all, I don't want to say finding God. I don't like saying that. But we're all, you know, on a journey with God in different ways. And the Lord may say, okay, Mo, this is a season of, I've been through seasons of like training, specifically my prophetic gifting, training. Like, there's a season of training for you, and this is what you're focused on. Therefore, it means that there's some other things that I may find, you know, I might like it. I might want to do it. I may want to know more about something, but that's not the season for me to do it, right? So the different seasons, different times that we are meant to do different things, right? So you need to figure out then who your teachers are in that season. As I said, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of people teaching this, teaching that, you know, but you need to figure out who is my teacher in this season, who my teachers are. It might be more than one. It might be a few people. It might just be three people. You know, we see this a lot. The sermons and things that get, you know, friends saying send on all of that. But it doesn't mean that you shouldn't, it doesn't mean that the things you don't connect to or you don't are bad. That just sometimes means that the things that you maybe don't sense you need to connect to may not be for you, might be for your friend, but it's not for you in that season of your life. So in the same way, we figure out who our teachers are, who are the voices we're listening to. We shouldn't be listening to too many voices. Voice of God is the first, you know, overarching thing. But when I say that, you know, the people that God gives to, like, you know, to supplement and, you know, to help to build you up, right, as well. It's not everybody. There's some people that it's more like you just build a relationship with them, but you know, they're not meant to be your teacher per se. There's some that are your teachers in a specific season. Come this time next year, they're not your teacher because you've kind of moved on. I'm sure you guys would have discovered that even in your journey with God, and you know, maybe there's a certain preacher or church you're connected to and you're listening to, and then suddenly, you know, you find that a couple of years after, you've kind of moved on from that. Not to say that's bad, but you're just not in that place anymore. This is not to encourage church hopping as well. It's more just like the teachers that you listen to as well. So that's what I mean by that, right? So figure out who your teachers are. It might not even be from a spiritual perspective. It might just be your teachers in life. Maybe this is the time where you are, you know, really focused on developing yourself, maximizing yourself. You know, again, there's an excessive array of life coaches to choose from. And there will continue to be, you know, that's an industry that's exploding, and for so many reasons. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, like, you know, it's great, but not everybody is your teacher. Not everybody is the one you're meant to connect to, because not everybody carries what you need, right? So figure out who your teachers are. Don't get swayed by what the trends are, or what a friend said, or what somebody's doing. Those might be things that are indicators to you, but you need to figure out who your teachers are in every season of your life, right? Okay, so the next thing I want you to make sure you're doing in 2021 is you're setting boundaries. And when we say setting boundaries, people often think about the cancel culture and people like, I'm setting my boundary with this individual. I can't let them do this. I can't let them, you know, like, you know, people often think about it that way. There is an element of setting boundaries with people as well, because there's different levels of access. Even Jesus kind of had different people that, you know, he had his 12 disciples, and there was a three, and then there was the one. So there's a level of, you know, different people. You're not always going to be close to everybody, and you're not designed to be that way. It's not meant to be that way, right? So there is an element of setting boundaries with people. I get that. But when I say setting boundaries, I'm saying even with yourself and with your time. Of this is the time I'm going to allocate to doing this certain thing. And that's a boundary you have set for yourself, right? This is a time, you know, so for some of us working from home at the moment, we may say, look, I want to obviously work, you know, but there's some other things I need to get done. So you're setting a boundary to say, I'm going to finish work. Oh, this is amazing. I'm saying this for myself. By 7 p.m., I'm going to make sure, 7:30, 6:30, 7, I'm going to make sure I finish work. I put it in my diary and structure it such that way I've set my boundary for my time. That's a very basic example, but there's so much more that God wants you to set boundaries for with your time, even with yourself, right? Maybe there's boundaries you need to set with yourself as well. There's certain things I've mentioned before. I can't watch, or maybe listening to something and I'm like, this conversation is going in a direction that is not going to be fruitful for my life. In fact, it's going to be detrimental, because I'm going to have to spend time getting out of my mind afterwards, right? That's the boundary you set for yourself. And it's like, okay, I'm coming out of this conversation. I was going to say I'm leaving the room, but we're not many. Okay, maybe it's a virtual room. Maybe it's Clubhouse, for instance, right? I think that happened to me yesterday. They started talking about something that this is getting very like explicit. Not for me, excuse me, I'm leaving, right? So that's a boundary I set with myself. I know that I'm not meant to be in here, right? I know that I have a tendency to see things, and I dream a lot. I know that if I infiltrate my mind, or if I see things too much, they can infiltrate my dream. They can make my vision a bit skewed. I don't want to go into all of that, but I'm very sensitive about things like that. Some people are not. Like, understand yourself. There's some things. I remember being in the room with one of my best friends and her family. They're watching a movie, and I was just like, mate, I'll catch you later. I can't watch this for so many reasons, because I know how I'm wired. I know more about myself. So as you begin to understand yourself, those things will become more, much more clearer to you. But that's setting a boundary with yourself, setting a boundary with your time as well. How much time are you going to give to somebody to do something? This is a year that no time wasters. You know, this is a year, I believe God is saying, all those people that have played with, you know, particularly around relationships, maybe you've been in soul ties, people have been wasting your time, people not committing to things. Like, I'm not saying cancel, but I'm trying to not come across with this cancel culture. But what I am saying is, with all of those things, right, there's a boundary, there are boundaries that need to be set, because some of those things have tripped you up. I'm speaking to some people that you have been in some entanglements for way too long. They're tripping you up and they're wasting your time, and they're not even allowing you to see what is ahead of you. Might not even be in a relationship necessarily, but you have just been caught up in things that are just dragging you down. So you need to set a boundary, boundaries for yourself, your time, all of those things, right? Trust me, it would help you. Next thing I want you to do, this is number 8. Similarly, following on from the last point, is to book appointments for your personal meetings, right? When I say for your personal meetings, I'm talking about for your personal meetings with yourself. So we do this thing a lot where we're like, okay, I'm going to set a goal and I'm going to make it measurable, and I'm going to use the SMART thing, and it's going to be measurable, attainable. What's the other thing? Specific. I can't remember the rest. But anyway, so we do this thing, we do all of that, and we say, yeah. So part of the thing about a goal being measurable is that you always come back and you measure, like there's a measure of success, right, to your goal. So yeah, I want to lose, 30 pounds. Ooh, in 1 month, that would be fantastic, right? I want to lose 30 pounds in 1 month, right? The only way I'm going to be able to measure that is if I come back at the end of the month and I actually measure it. Or even if I say halfway through the month, I'm going to see the progress I'm making. What a lot of us do is that we set these amazing goals. We spend time, we buy the templates, we go to vision board parties, we do all of these things, and we don't go back and look at it, right? And there's no reason. That's just a waste of your time. And it's a waste of almost the investment that God has put on you. When I began to see it that way, I was like, wow, we can't just put these things out there, spend time doing them and not come back to them. So book the appointment with yourself. What I found myself doing sometimes is that I will plan to do something, which is very important, that I need to personally do for my personal growth. And then somebody else would be like, oh, I need this, or I want to do this. And it's maybe clashing with that time. But I found myself always taking what the other person said as, oh yeah, you want to do it from 7 to 8, even this time I planned to do it myself. Aren't it from 7? Oh yeah, we can do it from 7 to 8, it's fine. And I found myself prioritizing other people's things. Now, I'm not saying, again, I don't want this to come across like I'm saying, don't be nice to other people or don't, regard them, etc. But it's also some of the stuff that you need to do is equally important. So, you spend time, God says journal. I want you to spend some time journaling, but you therefore wake up and start doing something else because you haven't prioritized that, you haven't booked the time with yourself, you haven't taken yourself or that task seriously enough. And sometimes that comes to even us taking ourselves seriously enough. So I'm constantly being like, oh yeah, this other person needs this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You should do that for the other person, but that thing you need to do for your personal growth and development is equally as important, if not more important, because it makes you more effective, it makes you a better human being, it makes you, draws you closer to the sort of transformed version of you that God is looking to develop, right? So book the appointments with yourself. When you say, the goal, I'm going to review this goal in 3 months, put it in your diary the same way you would put things in your diary when you have a dentist appointment, when you have, whatever it is you have to do. Say, I'm going to put this time in my diary from 9 to 10. And this is a time that's booked out. If anyone else needs this time, it's not going to be available because I'm booking this appointment with myself to do that, right? Your appointment for your self-reflection or whatever it is, book the appointment, like be intentional, take yourself seriously. I don't mean like take yourself seriously, like just be too stuck up, but I mean, take the things that God has placed within you seriously because it's an investment. So take that, whatever you need to do to really get the return on that investment to really hone into that, take it seriously, right? So book time with yourself. That's one example. There's so many other things that you should do, whether it's your time to, journal, whether it's your time to, have some, call it self-care. Whether it's your time to read a book. Like I'm trying to get very intentional about booking the blocks of time to read a book because I know I need to read this book because it will help me. So I'm going to read this book for 1 hour, 1 hour, book the time, put in your diary so that doesn't get, superseded by something else. If a friend calls you, I'm reading my book, like put your phone on silent, do these things. If you need to, go to those extremes, if you're not as disciplined, do those things, but take yourself seriously, book the appointments and the time with yourself. Okay, we're gonna go on another quick break for a reason that I can't explain right now. But we're gonna come back shortly. All right. Okay, so the next thing I want you to make sure that you are doing, or rather not doing in 2021 is procrastinating. So do not procrastinate. Procrastination is something that we seem to have accepted into our culture these days of like, oh yeah, I just didn't do what I meant to do and I procrastinated it and that's okay. I know that life happens, things happen, etc., but we should endeavor not to procrastinate. That goes back to obeying quickly, all of that. But what procrastination does is it actually does drain your energy. There's something called like an energy cycle, for want of a better word. Someone I know calls it this, right? And when you get like God inspires you with something, or you get an idea, or there's something you're meant to do when you're meant to do it, you have the certain level of energy to get that thing done in that moment, in that time period that you're meant to do it, right? That's what's backed up. Now, when you don't do it and it lies dormant, it gets more difficult to pick it up at a later time and, either execute or do whatever you need to do with it, right? So procrastination kind of has that effect. On people is that it drains our energy, right? So it we should take advantage of our energy cycles. When we're meant to do something, we do it. We have the energy, we have all the ideas, everything's flowing. Where if you don't do it and you leave it dormant, when you try to pick it up, it's like you have to get the energy to pick it up again. And then that same drive isn't there. That's because a project or whatever it is does have an energy cycle behind it. So it has like it's, that's the time you're meant to do something, right? So everything is sort of orchestrated to do that. So when you delay things, that's what procrastination does, right? So try and endeavor not to procrastinate. Some of these other things I've mentioned would help you if you implement them. It would help you apply more structure to be able to not procrastinate and ask the Lord for guidance, for help. And, I know I've mentioned about, those things that are gone, but there is nothing God can't redeem. He'll give you the strategy on how to do it. You just need to do it and partner with him on that because we are co-laborers with him. Next thing I want to mention that you do is you evaluate your relationships. Oh, this is so important. Evaluate your relationships. Again, I'm not saying this from cancel culture or from all of that, but for some of you, as I mentioned before, the Lord is breaking some major soul ties, some people that have wasted your time that really don't need to be in your life. The Lord is doing whatever's necessary for that, right? But when I say evaluate your relationships, I'm thinking more from a perspective of we always pray that we want people who are our helpers, who are our, destiny helpers, destiny connectors, the ones that are going to put us in position, the ones that are going to speak for us, our advocates, our mentors, all of these things. We always pray. We do a good job of praying for them, praying into their lives, or just praying that they should come forth. Lord, send my helpers, all of these things. And then the Lord sends them. But we are so caught up in either not being expectant for them, or maybe we're just like not being able to recognize. We're not discerning. We're not our senses are not like in tune to pick up that actually this is your helper. Sometimes it's not obvious this person is your helper. The Lord just sends somebody to you. You meet them somewhere. Maybe you're meant to build a relationship about something. It's not clear to you that they can absolutely help you. But once you then, once you're sensitive to it and you start to develop the relationship, you will find that actually they're meant to be a helper. Sometimes it's an after effect, like they actually helped you and you didn't realize they were your helper. But we need to evaluate relationships in our lives. It's good to just stop check of, not just, I mean, it's good to do it with, your friends, your friendships, understand like who's, again, I never want to really come up with this cancel culture behavior, but like really, who's a friend. Sometimes there's seasons that we're meant to pour into certain friends. There's seasons that we receive some from certain friends, right? So you understand when you evaluate your relationships of thinking, actually, this person, I need to glean from them, or I need to pour from them, or they're just, you know, friend, you know, they're an acquaintance or whatever it is. And it's nothing bad about realizing who people are in your life. Like there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. But really, I want you to kind of take the extra step of evaluating like the people around you, in the sense that who fits those things that you have been praying for, you know, who fits my mentor, who fits being a coach to me, right? Who is my helper? Who's that, you know, the desk, all of those things. Because sometimes we actually damage those relationships. We don't give them the attention they require. We're not sensitive. There's so many things. But my point is evaluate your relationships and do that regularly. And where you think you need to, that's definitely something I want to be better at this year. Where you think you need to be better at managing relationships, be better at managing relationships. I need to manage relationships as part of my job, but I'm starting to see it in my life day to day. I need to manage relationships, and that may warrant you being more proactive about messaging, calling, or whatever it is. Some of us are not great at that, but you need to figure out how to manage them effectively. There's some very close relationships I have that I could not speak to the person for 3 months, but they know that I'm uber close to them. Like, we're uber close. That's because that's kind of how I am, and we both understand each other. So evaluate your relationships, realize what people need. Sometimes some people might be needier than others. You might not be able to meet all their needs, but just understand that in your mind. It will help you go a long way, understand, you know, the people around, as you understand yourself and the people around you, just overall helps you as well. The last two things I will mention, if you don't do any of the other 10 things I mentioned, these last two things I've always mentioned, I beg you. I am asking you, I'm speaking properly now. Whatever the case is, these last two things I'm going to mention, if you do not take anything away from the other 10 things I've said, though I have spent, you know, quite a bit of time talking about them, I would encourage you, like these last two things you must do, and you must intensify them more than you did last year. You mustn't let your feelings get in the way, or however, if you don't feel like doing it, or if you are tired, or you mustn't let spiritual lethargy, spiritual tiredness, even physical tiredness come in the way of you doing these last two things. The last, number 11, is you should actively declare the word of God. Oh my days, you want to make sure, I'm switching loads of accents over here, but you want to make sure that you're actively declaring the word of God. What does that mean? That means you're actively declaring scripture, right? Scripture is let it come to life, right? I have a whole video on declarations, and I don't want to, I have videos, I have podcasts, I have spoken about it. I'm sure I will speak about it as the Lord prompts me more this year. I have, you know, Audia Talks, we have declarations on our website. You can go and download them. Is the word of God declarations for different parts of your life, and we talk, you know, we have the call it mini book or whatever, like talks about, you know, declarations, what it is, what they are, so you can do that more in more detail. But I want you to really, really, really take it upon yourself to actively declare the word of the Lord, declare the word of God over yourself, over your family, over your life. It is literally the days we are living in are the days where the word comes alive. It's the day where we need the word to be our medicine, to be our food, to be our everything we need, right? It is the word that will cause things to manifest in our lives, right? So you have a whole host of resources to choose from regarding declarations, etc., but these are the days where it is realer than ever. You know, we see so many circumstances with our natural eyes, and sometimes we want to identify with those things and start using our words to speak those things, but life and death really does lie in the power of your tongue. I don't want to go on about it too much, but I'm literally remembering an example that happened to me this week. I was sharing with a friend how I just used my mouth to change the circumstance to fit my, you know, to fit my condition, because I knew that I have the advantage in this situation right now. now over these people because I'm a believer and because of what I know I carry. But anyway, so declare the word of the Lord. That's definitely what you should do. Write out your own personal declarations. Ask God to show you in each season what you need to be declaring. Get in the word, consume the words, you know, let it be played all night, like let it get into you. That's ultimately what we use to fight our battles, like the word. That's like the real weapon we use to fight our battles, right? And that's an undefeated weapon, because as somebody explained it to me, I loved how they articulated it. I'm going off on a bit of a tangent here, but it's really, you know, if we think about the word of God and the fact that what it is, it's light, and the enemy cannot stand light. So the more you're full of light, the enemy just like can't be there, because he can't dwell in the place where there's no darkness, where there's light. Okay, last final thing that you need to make sure you do in 2021, is it not obvious, is to pray. If you prayed, let's just say, I don't know how many hours make up a year, like I don't know, but let's just say, you know, there's 365 days, I think. 365 days, let's say last year. Let's just say you prayed the equivalent of 100 days. Let's just say. Please just try and up that to praying the equivalent of 150 or whatever. Like, my point is, pray and up your game on prayer. Like, pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray the word, you know, the different forms of prayer, etc. Pray the word, but pray, if you can pray in the spirit, please up your game on that. Please do, because you see what praying the spirit, I don't want to now talk about that too much, because that would be a whole other podcast. We will talk about that another time. But in a nutshell, you know, there's so many things going on around us, and we can easily get tempted to want to like pray from a perspective of what we see with our naked eyes, where when we're praying the spirit, we're praying, you know, we don't know unless you have, you know, you receive the gift of interpretation. But when you start praying in the spirit, for instance, you don't really know what you're praying for in that sense. You don't know what you're saying necessarily, but you're praying. If you're praying with the spirit of God, you're praying correctly. Holy Spirit's praying through you. So he's speaking the right thing that needs to be in place to either change that situation or whatever it is, right? Or he's speaking because he also has the right perspective. You might not know the ins and outs of why something is the way it is because you're looking at it from your naked eyes, but you're praying. So praying the spirit, it does so many things. In fact, that's a whole other conversation. But I encourage you to pray in the spirit, pray a lot this year. Be intentional about praying. You know, somebody I really admire said, you know, I was thinking about, oh, you know, I need to schedule. I was thinking about to myself that I need to actually schedule my Bible study, that sometimes, you know, I read my Bible, yeah, every day and do, you know, all those things. But the study of the Bible, and I know what I'm studying this year, the Lord's given it to me. And I was like, I need to make sure I don't, like, I need to make it consistent where I have X number of hours or time, days, what I'm doing a week. So I need to schedule it into my diary. And, you know, I was thinking, oh, yeah, that's how we're going to conquer. And, you know, the person was like, I wasn't telling the person, I just heard the person talk about something. And they spoke about how, you know, we say we're scheduling God into our lives rather than like we are, God is being, you know, God is our life, and everything else is being scheduled into our God life, if that makes sense. And that's how we need to think about it. So when you know, the prayer is part of your building your intimacy, your relationship with God, is part of the co-laboring. We want to be co-laborers with Christ. We always say, I say for sure, you know, how do I do that? I do in the place of prayer. He tells me things. He shows me things. I'm able to, this is the, it's pray. That's my point. So I'm going to wrap it up there because this recording, this has been not as smooth as I would have liked to on either front. And I'm not going to call out which issue I've had mostly, but we've been able to overcome both the ability to record this podcast and record on YouTube at the same time, albeit it's not a live stream. We'll be doing a live stream another time. But I really, I'm so grateful that this has happened. And I just wanted to share this with people on both platforms, because people that, you know, people don't always know one or the other exists, and people want to watch it, listen to whatever the case. But I hope this blessed you. I hope these 12 things I shared with you for 2021, you will take all of them by God's grace. If not all, maybe 50%, whatever you decide to take from this of what I've spoken about. I really, really do hope it blesses you and it changes, you know, it helps to sort of trigger the transformation that you need this year. I pray that this year is everything, every word that I declare that God has spoken to me about this year, I pray that is your own portion. In the name of Jesus. Again, I'm not saying that things will not happen, like, but you can't be looking outside. You know, that's something God told me last year. Don't look outside. You can't be looking at what's going on in the world, all of these things, because these things are meant to happen, right? If you go and read, I would say maybe Matthew 24, yeah, 24, these things are meant to happen. You know, there'll be rumblings, there'll be shakings, there'll be these things, but you know, it's, we still will thrive as believers. We would stand out in these days. So, you know, these things will happen. So don't get distracted. We spend a lot of time, we can easily get distracted by what's going on. Not to say that we shouldn't pray and intercede, yes, because they happen. We're meant to, you know, pray, all of those things. But I don't want you to be discouraged by what's happening and let that like determine how you think you're going to live your life. And I know that people suffer trauma, loss in all sorts of different ways. But I pray that the strength of the Lord will reside within you and you would have the strength for some of you to just get up and go again. You know, and I pray you receive a strength that you have never even received before, that it's just not only get up and go like the last time, but it's get up and go fresh and new, because the Lord says, I am doing a new thing. I pray that you see it, you perceive it, you walk in it, you are not denied of it. I pray that you recognize distractions immediately, not after the effect, and you're able to nip them in the bud. But I really am so grateful to all of you listening. Shout out to the podcast listeners. Hope, you know, if you're new to this, thank you. Follow us, subscribe, leave us a comment, do all those things, because it really does help, you know, other people see it, etc. Likewise with YouTube, like, share, subscribe, share with a friend. I love all of you. My name is Modia. Take care. God bless. Happy New Year. Bye. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope this episode blessed you. If so, why not share it with a friend or two or three or four, and make sure you subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to. Feel free to also comment, share some feedback, etc. You can also follow us on social media. We're on all the major platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. On Instagram, we are Adia Talks Community. Everywhere else, we are Adia Talks. You can also head to our website, adiatalks.com. We have some great resources on there, again, about helping you just live your best life. So I encourage you to check that out. We have amazing things on there, so many wonderful things to come. Join our mailing list, etc. Take care and God bless you.